Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
The farther you get away from the football, the farther you get away from football.
Olin Krutz.
I always live by this. Who much is given, much is expected.
14-year NFL veteran.
Hey, I call him the unicorn for a reason.
Just watching Animal Planet, I'm more of a narwhal. A unicorn.
Narwhal tusks were fobbed off to royalty as unicorn horns. Some scientists believe this means the tusk serves the same function as a deer's antlers, a way to show who's the fittest male around.
6-time Pro Bowler and 4-time NFL All-Pro.
Hey, this is Keith, not Kevin. Keith on the south side. What I wanted to say is...
Olin, Keith. I'm Olin. That's Big Cat. O-L-I-N.
Hey, Big Cat. How you doing out there, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What I want to say is, as Keith, K-E-I-T-H,
thanks,
is
man.
That...
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
Be positive, okay?
We got 4 tough teams coming up. Will you call us back if things don't go right?
I will call you guys back.
All right, cool.
Just be positive.
Thank you, buddy.
Kumbaya. Kumbaya.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
I didn't catch the thanks, Kevin, the first time that we ran that.
Oh, dude, is it beautiful?
That is.
Mully going right back to it.
That's some incredible timing.
Phenomenal.
Mully.
Exquisite.
On that one. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Olin Krutz joining us here on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, CircuitLasVegas.com. Hey, Olin, how are you?
O-L-I-N.
What's up, guys?
Amen.
O-L-I-N. And, you know, good to have, obviously always good to have Big Cat on the show. We miss Pat, but pretty good replacement. We got in James Big Cat Williams with 13 years for Chicago Bears. So, you know, Kevin, Keith, he didn't like you. Make sure we knew how to spell his name. But we always have a good time on the post, especially when the Bears are winning. Bears are winning. It makes the show a lot more fun.
There's no doubt about that. And we actually had Big Cat on earlier this week, and he was great talking to us about the tackle play and what he's seen in the development of both tackles. I'd love to know, after you went back and watched the tape of Darnell Wright versus some really good pass rushers for the Giants, what you came away thinking.
Yeah, well, really, I came away thinking the offensive line is playing really good football together, right? They're playing as a unit. They got some time in now with Theo Bennett at their left tackle. They really are run blocking well, guys. But I mean, obviously, Jonah Jackson and Darnell Wright and Dahlman and Joe Tooney and Bennett, they do a nice job getting movement off the ball, sort of tight ends and the wide receivers. But just this unit as a whole, they adjust to blitzes and stunts, and they pass off games. And Coach Dan Roschar, and the film they put out there, you guys see people bending over backwards to compliment them, to give them line of the week awards, because it's what they deserve. Now, Darnell Wright, guys, he's been playing good football for a long time, right? We've been saying Darnell Wright's a good football player, but getting a lot more efficient with his pass sets, and the one where you see him body slamming Burns, and him and Burns actually had a really good battle. If you go back and watch the tape, Burns won a few, and I think Darnell mentioned that in one of his breakdowns on Twitter. I saw that he probably should have had a sack, but Caleb got away from the sack, something he does very well. But really efficient with his pass set, guys, with his footwork, becoming a pro, becoming the guy that we've talked about a long time on these radio waves. We need a blue chip type player that the Bears draft that becomes a Pro Bowl, all pro type player. Now what we need is consistency week in, week out. And here's the thing that I'm impressed with Darnell Wright. He fought through that elbow injury, which you don't even bring up anymore, right? But he fought to play with his guys. And I tell you right now, guys, Jonah Jackson, quite simply, the best run-blocking right guard on film the last 3 weeks in the NFL.
Wow, that's cool. And you wonder if these guys in the middle are having an effect on Darnell in terms of his consistency. And it sounds like you're talking about his toughness and his willingness to kind of fight through all that stuff. I wonder if that can have an effect in a room, can it?
Yeah, perfect storm, right? Speaks to your point. It's a great point that Joe Thuney is there now. Gosh, what does a pro look like? There he is, right? Dahlman is there now. Dahlman, a great, we call it reach blocks. Center's called a reach block. Guys get paid a lot of money in the NFL if they can reach block people. He did a great job against Dexter Lawrence last week, who is having a down year, but still a phenomenal nose guard, a hard guy to block. I thought Dahlman did a great job against him there at Soldier Field. But watching those guys prepare, get ready, get their bodies ready, that guys is invaluable, right? And then having Coach Roschar there to help you to be consistent with the fundamentals, what he wants on the field, how to take a pass set, how to come off the ball. You can go back 3 years, we were talking about the way Darnell Wright comes off the ball, run blocking wise, right? Pad under pad, hands low to high, running his feet, running guys off the ball. But now he's just efficient in his pass set, good coaching. You're seeing a perfect storm come together where players begin to rise. And obviously you win a lot of games and people start talking about the kind of football you're playing. But speaks to your point, a lot of guys in there right now in that offensive line room to look at and say, oh, wow, here's Joe Thuney. Look at the way he does everything week in and week out.
Olin, I remember hearing about this revamped middle of the offensive line being put together and all this money and the trades and everything in part so Caleb would stay in the pocket more. So he'd be more comfortable staying in the pocket, maybe even stepping up. Still an issue for him where he leaves the pocket sometimes, maybe a little more than he needs to. Work in progress. Is the middle of the line doing their job in that regard? Do you see a little more space that Caleb could be using if he's not every given down?
Well, yeah, there are definitely plays where Caleb should step up in the pocket instead of doing the triple spin out, make guys miss and run down the field. Like really he's been doing all year, guys, right? You go all the way back to week one. If you review the Minnesota film, the first touchdown of the year was Caleb spinning out to his left and running in 9 yards out and scoring a touchdown, right? So the things he's been doing all year. He still needs to improve on sometimes. I think him and Declan Doyle both spoke this week about, you know, staying in the pocket a tick longer, slowing down on your progression, staying on things to give guys a little time to get open on plays, step up and deliver the ball down the field. Now, he's had a lot of success with what he's doing, right? Running all over the place, making guys miss, avoiding guys. Like you guys know, if you watch the NFL for a long time, you saw what happened to Jackson Dart, against the Bears. You start to worry a little bit about how much Caleb's been running around. You saw him take that knee to the head last week. You saw him take a couple hits. You just kind of worry about those hits accumulating, and then all of a sudden we have a quarterback who's a little dinged up, not playing at the level we need to play at. So a little more like Caleb right now when you watch him, guys. I'm sure like you guys know, when you watch that Giants film, the first thing that jumped out at me was, oh, wow, the Giants have kind of caught up to what the Bears were doing after the bye week, right? They kind of caught up for two or three quarters to what the Bears like to do. The Bears were hiding their concepts with motions and formations. Like, you go back to week one, in the game when they were down, I think they were down 10 against the Vikings, they hit Pope Kmet for a 31-yard gain, right, down the middle of the field. Caleb led us to a late game touchdown. I know that's familiar, but that's the exact same play they ran to Coast in Loveland against the Bengals to win the game. They just hit it with motion, right? But really smart football players like Harrison Smith and guys like this are going to notice, oh, look, they're building the same formation to run the same play. So eventually Caleb does have to make the easy plays, put the ball in the wide receiver's hands. And I know everyone's screaming, drop here, drop here, drop that. You know, stop throwing it 155 miles per hour at the running back who's releasing the flat. Just make easy plays every once in a while. Right now, it just seems like, guys, a lot of the game, everything's either amazing, hard, or an explosive play, or we don't get anything out of it.
Oh, last week we were talking about Rome Odunze because he didn't have as many catches as he wanted, but he did do a really effective job on pin and pull plays and blocking downfield. This week, I found myself watching a lot of Cole Kmet, whether he was lined up at H-back or he was blocking downfield on the game winner for Caleb. How does a team develop that type of mentality and attitude where guys that aren't the offensive line are going down there and really getting after it as blockers?
It's crazy when you watch Cole, right? Lawrence, how much he does. He does a lot for this Bears offense, a different lineup of receiver, blocking. I know you're trying to get on me a little bit because I tweeted out that, you know, obviously after an ISO touchdown, Cole blocked the smallest guy on the field. And, of course, that's the block Greg Olsen wants to talk about. Never mind Dexter Lawrence, the 400-pound nose guard in the middle of the offensive line. Right? So, anyway, this is how you know an O-line's playing good football. Everyone wants to talk about blocking little DBs, and they forget about the $500 million the Giants have on their D-line getting blocked, right? They just, oh, man, look at Cole Kmet running over Drew Phillips. By the way, Drew Phillips is 150 pounds. Anyway, yes, Cole Kmet does. He does, though, you know, to Cole's credit, he does a lot on this offense, whether it's fullback, inline tight end, off-the-ball tight end, motion, wham, block. He does a lot for the Chicago Bears. I think we talked about that 3 or 4 weeks ago where they were going to miss him in the run game when he was out, right, because Cole Kmet is kind of a chess piece for Ben Johnson where he can do a lot of things for them. And like what you're saying is, I always believe, Lawrence, if you want team players, if you want guys who love the weight room, if you want guys who study film, I know this sounds complicated, but it's not. Draft them.
Yeah, you know, those are facts. And I just, man, I've grown an appreciation for what the tight ends mean to football, Olin, because they're a little bit line, they're a little bit target, and they dictate scheme, and there are things to key off, and, you know, for defenses, and they're just so damn important. And I get why Ben Johnson wanted to go get another one, because he's got Colston Loveland now to be a toy, while Cole Kmet, he can throw at a million things. Will Brian Flores key some of his stuff off what he sees the tight ends doing? What's Brian Flores going to look at when he's trying to decide how to attack Caleb Williams in this offense?
Yeah, you'll like the tight end so much they took early until Parsons is lining up on the left tackle in Green Bay. But anyway, we'll move on from that. Listen, you're right. They will key some of that. They'll try to get some, you know, off of film of what they like to do. The formations, now he's going to have to manufacture pressure, which Flores is scary, right, because the Grenard is out. How is he going to manufacture pressure? Where is it going to come from? How is he going to use Ivan Pace Jr., right? How is he going to get those Blake Cashman, Andrew Van Ginkle? How is Metellus? So I'm sure now without Grenard, now he opens up his whole playbook. Remember, the first thing they played the Bears, they put all that money into the defensive line with Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave and all these Grenard and all these guys. So they rushed four and played a lot of zone, right, and covered the field. But now I'm thinking with the crowd noise, with the silent count, with the offensive line a tick behind where they would be at home, he'll manufacture pressure and try to find where to attack Caleb Williams from and take some of those cues like you're talking about, just the things they do with their tight ends. Rome Odunze does a lot of chipping, honestly. So does Zacchaeus. A lot of these guys get involved in helping the tackles out before they release for routes.
When you look at the Vikings on tape, what do you see that's going wrong with them?
Yeah, they have. Well, first of all, you see that they in the last 4 weeks they played teams that are 24-13, right? They played the Eagles, they played the Chargers, they played the Lions, and they played Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. So what's going wrong is they play good teams. Now the first thing you realize is takeaways, right? So I said, well, they play teams that are 24-13. Well, the Bears have played teams the last 4 weeks that are 11-27, right? So the Bears want to go up there and prove that they are not just they can be good teams and not just be bad teams. And the Vikings want to prove, look, we've been playing only good teams. Man, so we are excited for the Bears to come in here and show you we're not as bad as people think. So the first thing I see on film, and they beat the Lions at home, which is a big deal, man. But the first thing I see on film is that they're playing really good football teams, and it's a tough matchup for them. And they have a young quarterback, Lawrence, who is struggling after the first two drives. And they have a defense that, they, you know, the takeaways aren't there. The sacks aren't there. They're giving the ball up. I think they're -7 right now, right? So that's not good. I think it's bottom three in the NFL. You'll lose a lot of football games when you do that. But that's the first thing I saw on film when I turned on the last two or three games, Lawrence, just the fact that they played good football teams.
Man. Olin, I don't know how you end up with as few takeaways as some of these teams have. Did you realize the Jets have one? Did I hear that right last night? They have one takeaway this far into a season. I can't imagine trying to exist. I know.
Usually you fall into one like the Patriots did with the Jets last night.
Yes. But like how does that even happen? Does that mean you're playing flat? You're just not. What is that in your mind?
Well, when the Bears are really good, I think Lovey's last year, they had 44 takeaways, which is just crazy, right? With Peanut and Briggs and all these guys flying around, that's what it is, right? These guys flying around like the Bears right now, making plays, guys like Tremaine Edmonds, Byard, right? A good coordinator who's confusing the offense, making the quarterback see ghosts, throw the ball up, get an interception. So just things are not working, not playing at high speed. I think the Jets did trade away a lot of their good players, but when you watch the Jets on film, just not playing with a lot of confidence, a lot of speed, and creating a lot of chaos in the offense's mind. And when you create chaos, the ball seems to pop out everywhere for you. So those are the first things I think about when you think, okay, why isn't this defense getting takeaways and why is this defense getting takeaways? It's just because of the speed and the way they play the game. I think Mike Brown used to call it controlled chaos, where they go out there, they know what they're doing, but in your mind, you feel like there's just chaos all over the place.
From the first game to this game, is there anything that the Bears have done, that you think Brian Flores will be like, well, I now have to consider this if I'm depending on what it is that I want to do defensively?
Oh, yeah. I think we all know what it is, right? They start to run the ball. They got way better at working together on combo blocks, the offensive line, working the line. Not as much mental mistakes, right? Not as many penalties, putting them behind the sticks. And it looks also, guys, like Swift and Monunga is a lot more comfortable. When I went back and watched the film, it was everything just not working together. And you forget, right, that in the preseason, there's not a lot of live rest. You forgot that Joe Tooney barely played. Braxton Jones is still playing, right? There were guys, Posted Loveland, his first game. There were guys out on the field trying to figure out, like the receivers are trying to figure out when the line was working to a certain linebacker. So they had the safety. And when there was a stunt, you could see that Jonah Jackson and Darnell Wright just hadn't worked together as much as they have now, and they couldn't work those things off. So Flores, I'm sure, is thinking, okay, man, I'm going to have to stop this run now before I, you know, not just play coverage and give them a six or what they call a light box and give them a run favorable look. So that is the first thing when you look at the Chicago Bears that you're like, oh, now with the 147 yards a game, now these teams, they have to come up there and say, the first thing we got to do is stop this run. By the way, they also have great receivers. So the Chicago Bears offense for Flores and the Minnesota Vikings are tough cast at home. Minnesota will have a little bit of advantage with that crowd noise, but we'll see what happens with the way that Chicago Bears offensive line and the running backs are rolling right now.
Man, is it fun having a good running game. I was talking smack to Pete Bursich last hour. He's like, Pete, you can't.
Running games travel, right, Speaks? They travel.
Yeah, man.
Right? So the run game travels, and you can win on the road with a good run game.
Let's go.
What's your concern? Because I feel like I'm hearing some concern in your voice when you brought up like the records and everything. So when it comes to you looking at this matchup, what concerns you?
It just the defense, obviously, guys, right? We watched the defense the last few weeks and this offensive line, right? Everyone talks about Grenard being out, right? They forget that the $28.5 million a year Darrisaw tackle, the tackle for the Vikings, he didn't play the last time, right? And then all of our pressure came on Skewell, I think is his name, Justin Skewell on the left side was starting for Darrisaw. Harrison Smith was out. Jordan Addison was out. So they do lose Grenard, but they gain three players back, right? And the thing that worries me, Lawrence, is when I watch the film, and like you guys know, I don't let a lot of things affect me. I just want to watch the film and then tell you what I see. And I did see the Giants kind of catch up a little bit to what the Bears were trying to do on film through these weeks, through this winning run. And the Giants defense corner did a really nice job calling defenses last week and picking and choosing when he wanted his run defense and when he wanted the pass defense. And of course, Caleb eventually made plays with his legs, which I don't know how sustainable that is, but he's really good at it. Right? He's like a Houdini back there in that pocket. Some of the times he avoided the sacks this week were amazing to me, but I did see the Giants catch up to them a little bit. The Vikings aren't as bad as their record. We just went over what we talked about and the fact that they're at home, right? It's hard to play in Minnesota. It's hard to play on the turf. The Bears have lost dial. Where is their pass rush going to come from? How are they going to stop the run at that defensive end position? Tough matchup, I think, personally, for the Chicago Bears this week. I think Vegas has the Vikings -2, right? They have them favored. I think that's about right, Lawrence, right? We're going to need a takeaway or two to come out of this game with a win because I think the Vikings at home are just a little bit worried about this football team.
Last thing, Olin. Jalen Johnson, probably not going to play, but I don't know. That'd be pretty crazy. He's listed as questionable. Do you remember, a texter asked, do you remember a teammate or a player coming back ridiculously fast from injury where you're like, oh,
Thomas
my God.
Jones.
And Thomas Jones is one that Lawrence offers you? Yeah, you can go there. You can go anywhere.
Yep. You know, it's just Jalen Johnson, man, with Dennis Allen, as much man defense and how aggressive he likes to play defense. He would be such a big addition to the Chicago Bears and him coming back. And I don't know what kind of surgery he had, right? I don't know. Every time you guys say growing surgery, I like, oh, man, like, this doesn't sound good. But really, hopefully he does recover fast. They could use him, right? As we all seen this past defense, the last couple of weeks, we know what the Vikings have at receiver, the wide receiver position. Remember, the last time the Bears played him, everything changed. Everything changed when they started running the football, right? Everything changed, and they went under center, and they started getting some play-action pass in. Jordan Mason started running the ball well, so stop the run first. And how do you stop the run? You have a cornerback who can play one-on-one with Justin Jefferson, so you can add a safety to the box.
Oh, have a wonderful weekend, man. We're looking forward to hearing you on the post-game show.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's Olin Krutz.
He's the best.
I like when people are like, man, he's really good at this. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's good point.
He's excellent. The Thomas Jones thing, I remember him, at least what he had said, the stories were like that he slept at Hallis Hall while he was getting treatment on his knee. And we were all like, is this guy going to play? And then he played.
Yeah, we should ask him next week when he's on the show.
I can't wait to talk to TJ.
Thomas Jones will be on the show. Good job, Alex. And that's why I didn't take a shot at you the entire 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
It's coming, though. But
does that mean you get 2 this hour?
Well, I don't. You did a lot of stuff that was deserving of shots, frankly. Did a lot of stuff.
It was the alter ego that came out before 5 o'clock.
What's your alter ego's name again? A-Rod? What did we decide?
Slappy.
No, that's someone else.
Slappy. I don't know. Nah, he might retake Slappy. He's trying to make Slappy happen.
When we come back, can we talk about the baseball awards?
There's some BS last night, man.
Was there, though?
I think so.
I've had strong feelings about some of it, too.
We both do. We're in agreement. Let's storm the castle together on this one.
There were more Cubs players getting MVP votes than I anticipated.
And one who didn't as well.
That I also didn't anticipate. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
USA in the 2026 World Baseball Classic. Please welcome General Manager Mike Hill, Manager Mark DeRosa. Now, D-Row, I know it's a lot that goes into putting together a roster for the World Baseball Classic. How's that going for you right now? How's it going assembling this roster of players?
I think we need some young guns to go get it.
Okay.
Maybe hit some homers.
Some youth.
So can I have Pete Crow Armstrong and Corbin Carroll?
Oh, 30-30s.
Let's do this.
Two 30-30s in the building. So Pete Crow Armstrong and Corbin Carroll are members of Team USA for the 2026 World Baseball Classic.
Will I get the stars and stripes in the hair?
If that's what this requires, absolutely, yes.
It might require it.
Man, I did not get a chance to watch our guy Roy Wood Jr. last night with Mookie Betts co-hosting that awards show.
After you told him you would.
I did. I'll be locked in on Thursday, Roy. Oh, my bad. I have it on the DVR, though. I'll watch it over the weekend. Roy's a great man. That's cool. Pete Crow Armstrong on Team USA. Tanny can root for him now.
Yes.
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
Now your team.
As long as they're not playing the Dominicans, then I'll root for them.
Then you're out.
Or the Puerto Ricans. I'm rooting for the Puerto Ricans. I love that team. I really do.
I have a Team USA cap. It's one of my favorites. I don't think I've ever worn it on the air, but I loved the Team USA WBC cap.
Christine got her dad the Team Mexico cap.
Team Canada's
WBC.
Are so clean.
Are they?
And I love their national anthem. It's just
Alex, what's
it's just
wrong
beautiful.
With you? What's wrong with you?
He also loves their free health care. He's a huge fan of that.
His future home.
Alex going full Bret Hart heel turn here.
Yeah. Well, Montreal screw job, you know. I was in Arizona during the WBC the last time, and when they had like Team Mexico, man, like seeing the fans walk downtown, so excited about it, and seeing all the, it's such a great event. I'm glad that baseball like got that right.
Our guy David Ross going to be the bullpen coach for Team USA.
Good. Rossi needs to be back in the game.
Yeah, that's one way in. But last night MVP was handed out. And Cal Raleigh didn't win MVP.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is a phenomenal player and seemingly a terrific guy.
With two cute dogs.
Oh, yeah, sure. Good for him. And he had an incredible year again. But what does Cal Raleigh have to do? You play the most difficult and important defensive position on the field at an incredibly high level. And you hit 60 home runs as a switch hitter. What the hell does that man have to do? You need him to have a higher OPS to compete with Aaron Judge?
I mean, the difference in OPS of the two players is significant.
I agree, but Aaron Judge was a right fielder who often actually DH'd when Giancarlo Stanton wasn't available, and because Judge hurt his arm and was making his way back. Cal Raleigh's a freaking catcher. He had 60 home runs. What are we doing?
I try to straddle the line of the subjective and the objective when it comes to baseball, okay? And when you look at the objective, it's not even close. Judge was an almost 10 war player. Cal Raleigh was 7.5. The OPS plus for Aaron Judge was 215. For Cal Raleigh, it was 169. Okay? I've said all of those things. In watching the season play out, in the eye test, I don't think there was a more valuable player this year than Cal Raleigh.
I thoroughly agree. And I value the concept of value to a team away from the metrics a little bit more, perhaps, than you, or perhaps a little bit more than others. War is imperfect. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Absolutely nothing.
Say it. Oh, wait, no. That's a song. But war is imperfect and you should not be a slave to it. That man, and you know what it doesn't account for at all, is the handling of a pitching staff. And that is a pitching staff full of volatile young pitchers, some of them starters, some relievers that he helped mold into what they became. And that matters to me, too. By the way, looking at the MVP ballots, the American League Central, and this from Dino and Mount Greenwood, the American League Central, where all the writers from the Central voted for more Judge than Raleigh. It was the Central that decided it. The AL East writers were 5-5. The AL West writers were 5-5. It was the Central.
That's interesting.
Isn't it? Central, who saw both players equally, went 7-3 for Judge. Because they were the only two to get first place votes. Just thought that was interesting.
Over in the National League, it was pretty unanimous. I mean, it was unanimous on who the MVP was.
Yeah.
There was no other choice.
Yeah, it was.
It was Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, that's fine. He also, because he pitched a lot, too. Did you see that?
Yeah, how he's like the greatest baseball player that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
That whole thing.
I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I'll never get over the look on my dad's face, though, when I told him that. I was like, he's the greatest baseball player of all time. My father was just like, "What do you mean? What are you saying?" I'm like, no.
Yeah,
it's him. it's him.
I think he probably is. Good write up on The Athletic about all the pitching options for the Cubs and who they could possibly go for. What they're hearing about Michael King, who's my choice. It's Sahadev and Patrick Mooney together, and Dylan Cease, and also the Japanese righty Tatsuya Imai, among those discussed, as well as possible trade targets. But man, Michael King, I just think the profile just sets up so well. Because in addition to the stuff and his swing and miss upside and the postseason excellence from a couple years ago, there's this, quote, his work ethic, intelligence, and feel for pitching are attributes that the Cubs previously targeted with free agents such as Jameson Taillon and Matthew Boyd. So he's got that makeup stuff in addition to the pitching stuff and the postseason dominance when healthy. So the shoulder's a big issue, but he was a reliever for a lot of his earlier years, so he could have some serious endurance like Nathan Eovaldi into his 30s. Eovaldi's a guy you would have killed to have like the last 5-6 years. I'm just a big fan of the profile of Michael King, and I hope that's the way they go.
No one else got first place votes in the National League. Pete Armstrong finished 9th for MVP in the National League. And there were other Cubs that got votes. Michael Bush got votes.
Wow. That's cool.
Nico Horner got votes.
He got MVP votes?
He sure did.
So, you know, again, people, they vote 1 through 10. So you could have some
fun. He got
a
6th place MVP vote.
That's awesome.
Seiya Suzuki got MVP votes.
He had a really good year.
Or vote. Singular.
Mm-hmm.
He had a single eighth place
vote.
Vote.
Wait, so Pete and Bush and Nico.
And Seiya.
How about Kyle Tucker?
He is not on the list of Cubs that got votes for, and I'm surprised by that because statistically his year was worthy of getting votes for it. Not winning it, obviously.
Yeah, higher OPS plus than Seiya?
Yeah. It's weird because I thought for sure that he would end up like top 15 in the National League, kind of in the same way that Pete did. Mm. But I think that heat and that energy that Pete, as he started to rise, had. I think that just carried over.
Yeah, I mean, maybe so. And there's the defense as well. And Tucker was a little bit exposed on defense this year. And his reputation took a hit with that long-ass slump. It really did.
He was still an 841 OPS.
Yeah.
He was an OPS plus of 143. Hmm. So it's weird to me because, like, if we are leaning on the statistics, one would think that Kyle Tucker would have found a vote or two out there, and he got none.
Wow, that is interesting. I'm back here looking. I know we're spraying all over the baseball field, but I'm back here looking at the American League MVP ballot. Lamont Pope of the Tribune, Scott Merkin of MLB.com had Aaron Judge first. Let's get them both on and yell at them. Merkin, Alex, can you hop on that? Merkin and Pope. Get the Pope, as we've been saying for months now.
Well, it's interesting. Did you see the stuff about Luis Robert that came out yesterday after the show, after we talked about him yesterday? Here's Chris Getz talking about him.
You know, he's still very attractive. He is.
So nothing has changed since yesterday. It's still status quo in terms of Luis Robert being attractive, which I agree.
So he's really attractive, and Case Keenum is sexy. There's a lot going on in Chicago sports these days.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. Thanks for that breaking news, Tanny.
Yeah, you looked at me like you were stunned. You could, like, not wait, man, to hear what happened with Luis Robert.
We were like, did we miss something?
We really are spraying to all fields.
You guys missed something? No way. Wouldn't happen.
We don't
happen.
Miss never, stuff. You know why we don't miss stuff? Because we got Alex. Alex makes sure we doesn't miss stuff.
See, every time that he does that,
what?
It feels like a shot.
That's how I get more shots in.
I don't think it's an actual shot, but it sounds like
I get over my limit.
Feels like. Like a shot.
That's how I overachieve.
Is that he's gaming the system.
Thank you.
Is that what he is?
Alex knows.
Well, he was playing poker earlier this week. And
yep. I'm the Chauncey Billups.
He did win some money gambling this week.
I did. It's true.
Did you figure out where you're going to spend it?
No. I'm letting it ride, baby. Letting it sit there. Letting it ride. Hell yeah.
So no issue with Ohtani being unanimous, right?
No, I got nothing. I got no problem with that. I mean, he's Ohtani. He's absurd. And
Barry Bonds is seven, right? Do you have seven MVPs?
Really?
Let me look real quick.
That's ridiculous.
Because it sounds like it's not right, but I feel like it's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a seven-time MVP.
Yeah, that's a lot. Victor Conti died this week. The Balco founder and former Tower of Power bass player.
That's true.
He only got into that band because his brother was in the band. And they, like, pressured the rest of the band to let him in. And then he was bad. And they fired him.
What a touching tribute speech.
Sorry for your loss.
I got you. I'm here for you.
You think Ohtani can get to seven?
I think he's got that possibility.
I think he's got that possibility, too.
All right. Something happened earlier in the week that has come to our attention is an issue that we need to address.
Yeah.
And I think we should do that.
And make a correction.
Yes.
So we will do that next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We appreciate you listening to the Spiegel and Holmes show. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. We got you until 6 o'clock. Earlier this week, we had a lot of fun with the idea that we may have been being listened to inside of the Bears locker room with conversations that we've had about C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, there was a card that came our way that C.J. Gardner-Johnson had signed making fun of you. And you
spiking Lawrence, the football on me, and deservedly so.
Yeah, and we laughed at it, and you were the willing butt of the joke, and we moved on. But then we found out that not everything was as it had appeared.
So we wanted to offer Jason Leisure an opportunity to jump on the air and talk about it, and he joins us now.
Yeah, hey guys. So that was not real, and I am extremely sorry about the confusion that I caused with that, with you guys, with the Bears, with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That was meant kind of the way you guys describe it, as totally just an inside joke at Lawrence for how wrong he was, that the signing was not going to go well. And it's my fault for being careless about that. I should have made absolutely clear that it was just a joke. And I feel horrible that this happened. I'm very sorry to you guys, to the score, to the Bears, to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That guy has been nothing but great on the field and behind the scenes over the last couple of weeks since he's been here. And I wanted the chance to apologize directly to him first, which I did today. And I'm sorry to Lawrence and Grody for getting roped into this, but really all of my score teammates and friends.
Jason, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for being as open and honest about it, and we appreciate you jumping on to talk about it, because that's not an easy thing to do, to admit when you've done something wrong. So we thank you for that, and we love you, and you and I have talked, and you know I said I forgive you, but we love you. So we want to thank you for jumping on and saying, hey, this is what happened.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, guys, and it's important to make it right, make it real clear.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jason. It's like we specifically and the score in general have worked really hard for decades to develop a trust with you, with the listeners. And this is the kind of thing that could potentially damage that. It's just a little prank, but we mess around and we have fun, but we don't invent made up stuff for content. We don't need,
right.
We don't need to do that. And from that sense, it pissed us off. It pissed me off because it made a mess that had to be cleaned up during the course of the week, and we can make messes on our own. We're real good at making messes.
We know? Are.
We didn't need this mess.
And I thought it was funny, and the reason that I thought, and I posted it afterwards, and the reason that I thought it was funny is that even though C.J. Gardner-Johnson had a reputation walking into it, I thought that made him look great. It made him look fun and funny and being like, man, I'm out here balling out.
Yeah.
I've got 3 sacks and... You know, because he had mentioned that the media was going to get him out of here early on. And yeah. I'm very happy for him that he is taking this opportunity and doing something really well with it, which is why I was totally okay with him spiking the football on me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this thing that Jason had done, it painted a picture of media interaction for him that's not true. And this is a player working hard to make the most of an opportunity. He's like, this is a very important chance for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And he's trying to engage and interact any more than he needs to. So he was kind of an unwitting victim in this. I'm glad that Jason said he had a chance to apologize to him directly. I'm very glad.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that at least some sort of attempt was made with CJ to know that we weren't doing this as like some sort of bit to get at him.
No.
That wasn't the idea. So I feel badly for that, because this is a guy that's trying to to make his football life right. And I found it easy, honestly, like I found it easier to root for him after that.
Sure.
You know,
sure,
like
thinking, yeah, but I mean, it's just wasn't a thing that existed.
Correct.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And it's, it's.
Look, Jason Leisure is a friend of the show. He's trying to have some fun, trying to balance the different levels of being a news guy while also being a fun part of a radio show. And it's a tricky thing that, as I say, it's taken years to kind of develop here, but ultimately ends up unfair to us, like he said, and unfair to you, the listener, because our trust with you, the listener, matters, and we take it seriously. So Jason's not going to be on the show for a little while, and we'll move on from that.
Yeah, and we know that there are places where that can be part of the fun, and I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with it, but ideally we're trying to, as Speak said, straddle a line of here's the truth and here's the fun inside of the truth. So for us to not get that part right is discouraging and embarrassing to me personally. And everyone here has been outstanding about it. And as I said to Jason, like Jason is literally one of my best friends. He is a wonderful human being. And as anyone else that's ever had some sort of issue or made a mistake, I will tell you that he is not defined by this.
Oh, not at all. No.
He is defined by much more than this. Hmm. By much more. So I appreciate him, and I appreciate that he was willing to come on and apologize for what happened.
And hopefully everybody can move on and play a football game big deal for CJ Gardner-Johnson, it doesn't seem.
Yeah, I hope that he continues to succeed because it's a wonderful story of a guy that's kind of putting his football life back together and maybe has found that it's really important. And I imagine that the rules for him to even join the Bears was pretty strict. So I could understand how if he's like, wait, like what? Like, that's no, like I'm just out here trying to ball. So that's the person that is the most important inside of this conversation.
That's important to say. Yeah, that's the guy who got unwittingly kind of roped into a little thing.
So for that part, we're definitely sorry to CJ in that regard. And again, thanks to Jason for being as stand up a person as he is in real life in his radio life. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the matchup between these two teams, and we'll talk a little bit about what the Bears need to do if they're going to get a win against the Vikings. That's next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.